Hello everyone, this is Matthew Fraley with BreakpointTrades.com. This is the Wednesday, November 18th market recap. And today was an extremely boring consolidation, choppy day for the market if you were watching the indexes. At the close, the S&P and Dow gained or lost 0.1%, while the NASDAQ and NDX lost about 0.6%, so they underperformed. Crude oil gained about 50 cents, while gold gained $6, though it is down a few dollars. In tonight's update, I'm going to go over some major indexes, what I see could happen in the short term for the market, and I'm going to go over some market indicators in gold, and at the end, I'm going to go over some trade ideas and some comments. Again, regarding this market, guys, a lot of convincing arguments could be made that the market should drop and some kind of top is just around the corner. And I can't argue against them. But, you know, until the trend changes, we can just follow the trend. And, you know, another comment I want to make, and Steve talked about it last night, is, and we've got this feeling or sense after talking to quite a few of you on the phone. Yes, we've probably talked to at least several hundred of our members over the last several months. We find that it's a lot easier to trade individual stocks than it is to trade market index ETFs, trying to trade the market. The market will chop you up, especially if you're trying to pick tops or bottoms. You know, let the market really put in the top before trying to pick a top. But in the meantime, you know, try to trade individual setups. And if you're playing longs, setups, pick the ones that are taking the best volume. Tonight I have a few more trade ideas at the bottom. Again, with the market indexes quite overbought on the 60-minute charts, is it a good time to go long swing trades here? Probably not, but that doesn't mean you can't take longs if they're taking good volume, etc. And again, the market could continue to move higher. So until it really changes direction, let's not overanalyze it. So let's just go and get started with the charts here. I'm going to fly through them as quickly as possible. Chart number one is a daily chart of the S&P 500 going back to 1998. And it has the 50 and 200-day EMAs on it, which generally work quite well for major trends. And it's worked quite well going back to about 1961 when the S&P started. But anyway, the 50-200 EMA crossed over each other back in October 8th, and the S&P was about 1,005 to 1,010 at that time. Some people also use a weekly chart, use the 1334 week, and they crossed around the same time as well. Will the market go all the way back to the highs? Is this some kind of long, is this a kind of cyclical bull market? Or is it going to top out eventually up in the fibs and then turn down? Who knows? But either way, on this chart, The short-term resistance, I think, if the market wants to pound higher, is that 50% Fibonacci retracement at 1121. That's the 50% Fibonacci retracement from the October 2007 highs to the March lows from this year. So 1121. So that's an area, if we move up higher, I would look at that area. Chart number two, basically the same thing. It's a daily chart of the S&P. It has some wave count on here. You can see some five-wave downtrend completion into the March lows, and we've been moving up since then. The 50% Fibonacci retracement is 1121 and a half, basically. Okay, so if we want to pop up, that would be a logical area. And if the market really got through that area, I could see it potentially going up to 1200. Again, we'll just take it one day at a time. If the market wants to move higher, let it. If the market wants to reverse, puts in a true good reversal where volume comes into it, then we'll adapt and we'll take advantage of that as well. Chart number three is a daily chart of the Dow. Nice rising wedge pattern here, obviously. We've been looking at these for months, as you know. You have declining volume on the move up, which, again, is bearish in my opinion, but price is still moving up. And the move up this November has been on declining volume still, as you can see. So that is a warning sign, but again, until it really reverses, you know, want to be careful on the short side. Now, what I would watch for, again, is notice the upper trend line of this wedge. The upper trend line, you can see, is just a little bit higher, so if the Dow wants to rally, that's a logical resistance area for it to hit and then bounce back down. Okay. Now, longer-term trend indicators on this chart would be the uptrend line for March and the Arun oscillator at the top. So if that Arun would go below zero and the Dow sold off hard and broke its uptrend line, and also the 1334 EMAs crossed, that would be negative. Of course, it would take quite a good sell-off for that to occur. But in the short term, watch the upper trend line. I think that's pretty good resistance. That's not very far up. Just like on the S&P 500, 1121 isn't very high either. It's only about 11 points from current value. You know, that could be achieved in one day. Chart number four is a 60-minute chart of the S&P. And again, as we stated, we still need, need to be cautious up here. Nothing wrong with playing longs and breakouts, and we have quite a few trade ideas in the last couple days, and we have a few on our watch list. But we are near some trend line resistance. You can see this confluence resistance on the 60-minute chart. Notice how I can draw another little wedge in this chart. Notice how it all points around the 1120 area. So let's see if we can make it up to there or not. There is negative divergence on the MACD, as you can see here, and really all the last tops going back to the last several months have been negative divergence on the MACD, as you can see it there. The 60-period stochastics at the top or at the bottom is something to watch because it's been above 80% for a long time. If that starts, the market starts selling off and volume comes in and the 60% stochastics goes below 80, I think that would be a negative sign. Now, we do have negative divergence here. As you can see, I got it circled in pink. But the only thing I'm going to point out is sometimes divergence can stay for a long time. Again, the market, you know, could move up a little higher and then just start selling off. Or the market could just, you know, have another nice leg up if it wanted to, even if the divergence is there. Divergence can remain in place a long time, and it's not a sell signal on its own. That's why you need a trigger. And an example of this is you could see the second circle on the left back in July. You had a similar MACD divergence there. But notice the S&P continued to chop higher for the next few weeks. So basically the MACD recycled back down to zero, and you still had a divergence that eventually had a 40-point pullback, but it took a long time to play out. If the market wanted to pound higher, something similar could happen. Again, I'm not saying that is going to happen. I don't know. We'll react to the market, but you know, it's just something to keep in mind. But in the short term, you know, we do have the divergence, so that is a negative. And if we do move higher, I think that 1120 area is a pretty good resistance area. Chart number five is my 60-minute fan chart. You know, again, the same things. You have a we're riding this trend line number four on the bottom of it. That is resistance. And you 60-period stochastics at the bottom and your MACD divergence, okay? Your Arun oscillator at the top, the 180 Arun, it quickly gave a sell signal early last week, but it turned back up to give a buy signal. So if you had shorted based on that Arun last week, then you should not be short. You should have went long or covered your long right when the Arun went back above zero. If you follow an indicator like that, you have to do it implicitly, okay? So, you know, in the future, if the mark, when this Arun eventually crosses down, that would be something to take note of. It could be another whipsaw, or it could be a true sell signal. Okay. Chart number six is a longer-term 60-minute chart of the S&P 500 with this daily uptrend channel wedge and the Arun. So, nothing more to say on that. And now, shorty-term, here's what I'm potentially seeing. May or may not play out, but chart number seven is a 15-minute chart of the S&P 500. And again, as I stated, over the last couple of days, we've been consolidating, possibly forming some kind of triangle. And the triangle, if it's an ABCDE triangle, that would be bullish. That would mean that we're going to have another push up to the upside. And it would measure up to around 1115 to 1121 on the S&P. So if that happens, that would correspond with a 50% Fibonacci retracement. And I think that would be something to take note of. Now, this may not play out. Futures are down a little bit tonight, but you know that can change by the morning. Remember, it is options expiration week, so it could be quite whippy later this week. And another thing, guys, if the market's a little tricky for you, you don't have to be playing every day. You can sit out and wait for the market to really show its hand. But, you know, for now, the trend remains up. But let's see if this triangle has another up move or not. That would be my preference, would be for one more up move here. Just like last week, we had a preference for the market to move up this week, and it did on Monday in a big way, and it's been consolidating since then. And it looks like the same thing could occur here again, but, you know, we'll just have to see. Chart number 8 is a 30-minute chart of the NASDAQ. Again, you can see the NASDAQ formed a divergent high. It's been consolidating for the last couple days along with the market, and it bounced off support here recently around 1280. So the MACD has recycled back to zero. You can see my comment on the MACD. So this is a place for it to turn up and go up and make another high if it wants to. Okay. Now, if it doesn't, then that would be bearish. The 1334 EMAs are a pretty good guideline. They're basically pinching now, saying that, you know, it's either going to start selling off or it's going to, you know, pinch together to have another up move. So that's what to watch for. Chart number 9 is a 30-minute chart of the Qs, NASDAQ 100 ETF, and you can see this kind of wedge forming here. 13, 34, and 50 EMAs on here. Notice how they're all starting to pinch. So again, when they're pinching here, that means that you're either going to get a trend reversal, start selling off, or that means you're consolidated and they're going to start turning back up and you're going to have another up move. MACD's at zero, so that would give it fuel to turn up and have another upside move to new highs if it wants to. Again, we'll follow what happens. And chart number 10 is another 30-minute chart of the Qs with the 1355 EMA. Those are two Fibonacci numbers as well. Again, really the same analysis applies. So that does it for the major indexes, folks. Again, I wouldn't focus too much on the indexes now, or at least you want to focus on the indexes, but be careful about trading the indexes too much, because it's extremely difficult to trade the indexes, especially now when the market's choppy and you know, people are looking for tops that aren't manifesting. It's better to just sit back, maybe play a few individual stock setups that are working. So that's what we are doing personally. Now, moving on, I'm going to look at a few market indicators. Chart number 11 is the NYSI indicator. And about a week ago, I noticed that it got oversold, and it's starting to turn up now. Now, over the last couple of years, it's been a pretty good timing indicator. When it gets overbought and oversold, you could take a look at, especially back in 2008 and early this year. But, you know, over the last few months, it hasn't been so good. It's been falling a lot of times and the market's moving higher, et cetera. So, really, you know, it's been kind of off lately. But it is turning up. And the fact that it's turning up, that could be juiced if the market wanted to move higher. Okay? That's one thing to note. Chart number 12, of course, is our long-term 401k trending indicator, the NASI Summation Index. You can see it's very good at trends. It whipsaws from time to time, but you know, you can see it had you long the market in 2006, and from basically late July all the way to July of 2007. That was a year. It had you short almost all of 2008, except for a little whipsaw there. And it's had you long all this year from basically April 1st. And it's still pointing up. It has not, today it was up again. It continues to move higher. This is a long-term indicator. It won't catch the top, it won't catch the bottom. But when it turns, that could tell you that some, you know, a major trend change has occurred. So those of you with 401ks, you're managing longer-term money, you don't, you know, working a job, you don't have time to watch the markets, but you want to catch the major moves, this is what you want to use. Okay? But anyway, again, nothing has changed here. It has not given a sell signal, and it is not giving a sell signal. So we will inform you when it does. The one thing I do note is that the MACD is finally starting to diverge. Notice that the MACD is turning down while the price is going up. That's an early signs of negative divergence setup. And notice that the last bottom was set with positive divergence and the last negative divergence top in 2007. So this indicator seems to respond well to divergence in the MACD. So we're starting to see signs or beginning signs of this divergence. But what I could also see it taking maybe a month or two for the divergence to really form out here. So you know. But, you know, it's in its early stages, and nothing has changed yet. Now, chart number 13 is the Dry Bulk Index. There's been quite a few comments on the trading community blog about this, so I figured I'd comment it tonight. The Dry Bulk Index, it's the Dry Bulk Shippers, and it's basically moved 100% since its October lows, which is amazing. This index is extremely volatile, as you can see. I played around with it tonight, and I noted that simply if you just put a 200 or 20-day exponential moving average on this index, that gives you pretty good buy and sell signals. It's not perfect always, but it's pretty good. I mean, it's volatile enough and trendy enough that alone would give you a pretty good buy and sell signal. I don't think there's an ETF for this index, but there are quite a few stocks, and you can see on here I have listed the stocks. But you can see it gave a buy signal in March, or I mean in October when the 20 crossed the crossover the 20 EMA and the etc. The 60 period stochastics at the bottom also works pretty well for buy and sell signals, especially for buy signals though, when it's below 20% and then crosses up. So it's something to keep an eye on in the future. And the next few charts are just some individual shippers. I've noticed that they continue to move up on higher volume. Chart number 14, EGLE, broke out yesterday slightly, but today it really followed through on big volume. Chart number 15, DRYS, Dries, has not broken out yet. There's a trend line resistance here. That might be one to watch. But right over the high of 730, it looks like it would break out. Again, make sure volume continues to come into it. PRGN, another shipper, it broke out 3 days ago, and it's just been moving higher. I wouldn't chase it here, of course, but just showing it as an example. But, you know, you can use the above chart with the 20 EMA as a guideline when it crosses above or below that to trade some of these shipping stocks. So that's a comment. Moving on, chart number 17 is a daily chart of the U.S. dollar index. This is from TradeStation. Once again, the dollar maintains in this strong downtrend, and the 50-day moving average is key resistance. If it ever turns over this 50-day moving average, that'll be something to take note of. And as I stated, futures are down a little bit tonight, and the reason why they're down is because the dollar's putting in a little oversold bounce on the 15- and 30-minute charts. Again, the market continues to be inversely correlated to the U.S. dollar. Chart number 18 is USO. This is crude oil ETF. And it continues to trade in this, could be a flag pattern. And it has yet to break out of it. If it breaks out of it, it should go up several dollars at least, maybe $3 or $4, $5. And crude oil itself could run up to 90. But it has yet to play out ultimately. So we'll see if it eventually takes out this resistance here. Now, moving on to gold. Chart number 19 is a daily chart of gold. Gold has been moving in this parabolic fashion. Gold broke out of the symmetrical triangle pattern in early September. As you know, we are long the gold ETF, the 2x ETF, DGP, on the watch list. We've been long since then, and we still have it. It's up close to 40%. As you can see, the slope on gold, you notice that it's starting to move parabolic now. So eventually it's going to have a pretty good pullback here. The divergence that was in the MACD below is now lost, so that's a positive thing. In the short term, I think if it pulls back here, which it should anytime, it'll be a wave 3 pullback and not a wave 5. And so that's what I'm seeing on the chart currently. It looks more like some kind of wave 3 topping action. So we'll have to see, but that's what I see in the short term. Chart number 20 is a 60-minute chart of GLD. That's the ETF. Gold looks ripe for a pullback here now. I've been talking about this for a long time to watch the 60-period stochastics at the bottom. Notice how many days it's been above 80%. It's been above 80% since early November, almost all month. That is unprecedented. Of course, gold had an unprecedented move, but eventually it'll come down. It'll break 80% eventually. The divergence is still in place, and so I would look for a pullback at any time. If you're long, you know, gold or anything, you could take some profits and look to buy it cheaper. If you're a long-term trader and you don't want to sell it, you don't want to lose your position, that's fine. But You know, for those of you shorter term, I think it's finally looking right for something. Watch that 60 period stochastics as a trigger. Chart number 21 is next chart is a daily long-term chart of gold. It has gold in its inverse head and shoulder pattern. And this pattern measures to about 1300 to 1350. And so over time, that's a potential longer-term target of gold. But again, in the short term, it's getting parabolic. And I think at least it's got some kind of wave 3 top and needs a pullback here. Chart number 23 is the long-term bullish view of gold. This would have gold, you know, going anywhere from 1300 to 1500, maybe 2000 an ounce or beyond. If gold were to go into a parabolic state like it did from 1978 to 1980. So that's the long-term bullish Elliott wave count on gold, potentially. Prechter has a bearish view on gold, but this would be the bullish count. Chart number 24, silver. This is in the weekend newsletter, continues to play out. Again, it broke out of resistance, and next resistance or target could be around that 19 area. Silver's playing some catch-up. And the last stocks, charts number 25 to 32, are some trade ideas. Chart number 25 is a short idea. I mentioned it is short. It's a bank stock. It's not been rallying with banks. You could see it didn't rally all this year with the market, so it exhibits low relative strength. I stated last week that it could be shorted around the downtrend line or the 50-day moving average, so not sure if any of you took it as a short. That would have been a good area, and you could see it starting to sell down. Shorts are, I like to do shorts near resistance instead of breaking support. So I have it on an untriggered watch list still, but, you know, it could have been shorted last week or up around the resistance area. So let's see ultimately if it plays out or not. If the market does have a pullback, this and the bank sell off, this would be a good candidate since it has low relative strength. Chart number 26, CGA, China Green Agriculture. Massive breakout today on good volume. Pure momentum play. You could watch it tomorrow over 1691. See if it follows through or not. But again, you're responsible for managing your own stop because momentum plays, they might not manifest. But, you know, it's one if, you know, those of you aggressive, if you want to watch it, see if it follows through. You know, what stands out about it is the volume, obviously. Chart number 27, IPI, Intrepid Potash, resistance at 29.25. Nice volume last couple days, so let's see if it can take that out. And if it can, and volume is good, again, make sure volume is above average on these breakouts, guys. If they're not, pass on them, okay? It could go up to 34 fairly easy. That would be about a 5-point move. Chart number 28 is MGA. It's on the watch list, and that's why I mentioned volume above. This broke out of its flag a few days ago, but notice the pathetic volume, okay? So that was a good sign. Plus, it stopped at that 52 area. But if these breakout stocks don't have volume, guys, and the volume is lackluster, pass on them. Do the ones with best volume. Don't get trapped in the ones that are on light volume. You know, this one could still play out if it takes out 52, but it needs to take out 52, and volume needs to be good. You can see it's been pathetic. So on the watch list, you know, that's my comments on these. With the market at dangerous levels where it could really do anything, you know, just take the ones that are doing the best volume, and that's it. Because I get a lot of questions, you know, some of you do some of the trade ideas, you know, you'll buy them. The volume's not very good, then you don't set a stop, you get trapped in them. Don't let that happen. Do the ones that have the best volume, and if you do buy one, have a stop, have an exit plan in place, don't wait around. Chart number 29 is an inch PMI. I kind of like this one. It bounced off the 200-day moving average today. Volume increased, so I think it could be bought over 230 and with a stop in place. Chart number 30, QXM, little China stock, bull flag in here. If it could take out that 484 on some volume, that might be a good sign, but it needs volume. Chart number 31, RDN, Radeon, nice volume today. If it can take out today's high over 575, that might interest me. Chart number 32 is a short idea that's on the watch list. We'll see if that ultimately plays out or not. So that does it, guys. Let's see what happens with the market. Again, I don't want to overanalyze things. And, you know, and for yourself, don't overtrade this market. Be careful about trading the market indexes too much because they can chop you up. And that's it. Let's go. Let's keep it simple and let's see what this market does. Talk to you later.